PFT Media.
Is episode, what episode is this?
28?
7? I'm going to say 27 maybe.
You don't respect
27, 28.
There was a number you don't acknowledge, so who knows?
Yeah. Oh, man.
This is episode 29.
29.
Hi, Freddie.
Here we are. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong. Fighting for survival. We've got to be.
2 years and counting before the national nightmare is over.
Midterms this year, though.
Yeah.
Midterm elections.
First of all, no pressure, everybody. Pedro Lima, Dan Perella, super producer Chris Crespo, coming to you live from the Green Lemonade Green Aid Studios in Maitland, Florida.
That's how I like that sponsor. Yeah.
Okay, so we have very special guests. I don't want to hype it up too much. Feel free to jump in. I don't want to mess with anybody's money.
Well, you were like going with the intro, so we're just going to let you like.
Okay, Dan, you want to take care of the intros?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
So we have with us one of my colleagues in FSCW, Clara Sinclair.
Also AKA Ray.
Yes.
Jedi powers. Come on.
And she brought her husband along. He's kind of well known.
He tagged along.
You know,
so. I'm not a Jedi, unfortunately.
Suck it.
Jack Gallagher.
Hello. This is my voice. I'm not the woman in this relationship.
Wait, that's... Jack Gallagher's not secretly a woman?
No, that's the way you can tell.
You
us
lied
apart.
To me.
I know our accents sound very similar.
Okay, question off the bat. Is it Gallagher or Gallagher?
It's Gallagher.
Okay, so is it Liam and we've been pronouncing Oasis wrong this whole time?
No, so what it is, the English way of pronouncing it varies. So Gallagher is generally how like English people will say it.
Okay.
I'm from an Irish family.
Ah.
So if you say Gallagher in an Irish accent, it comes out as Gallagher.
Oh, okay.
So it's Gallagher, technically.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Scottish spell it with a C. So it's G-A-L-L-A-C-H-E-R. And yeah, that's probably how it's pronounced Gallagher as well.
Yeah. I think because of Shameless. Yeah. Like, Shameless has kind of made the Gallagher over here anyway, the Gallagher.
Oh, yeah, the Gallagher.
No, Oasis made it. Before Shameless, we had Oasis over here. Yeah.
I don't know how, like... So
what
it's really weird.
Watermelons?
I don't know how famous, like, British bands are.
Oh, you crazy? Like... Those brothers fought on stage.
What do you mean you don't know how the Beatles changed everything over here?
No, but sometimes you say stuff to people and they're like, who?
You know, we heard about the Rolling Stones too, right? You know about
Wait,
Mick
who are the Rolling Stones?
Yeah, the guy with the guy that won't die from doing drugs. What's
also,
the,
yeah.
I know, how many...
There's this great
like...
new act coming up called David Bowie. She goes,
I'm so excited. I hope I get to see him live soon.
You're hearing a big buzz about Led Zeppelin these days.
Yeah, the cover band that we used for our intro is apparently they're very popular. They have a movie coming out too, so...
Oh my god, I'm so excited about that film.
You
have no idea.
You, like, you're excited. What?
Like, Freddie Mercury was the reason that I like... So before I was a wrestler, I was a singer. And it was the reason I became a singer was watching Freddie Mercury perform in Wembley for Live Aid. Like, that's the reason I became
up.
A performer.
You were there? You saw it live? Or
How old
you saw
do you think
TV?
I am? Oh my
I don't know. That was in 80-something, right?
It's a podcast. I've got no makeup on, but
that was 80-something. I don't know. Your parents
like
could have taken you.
Live Aid was 85, I thought.
No, I watched it online.
Online?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I watched it online. It would have been dope if your parents just
You would just made his... Yeah.
I was born in the 90s.
You were born in the 90s? My bad. No offense.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Shit, I am so detached with people's age. Like, I don't even know how old I am sometimes.
Kind of varies. Sliding timeline, really.
I don't even like to answer. But yeah, we loved the Gallagher Brothers Oasis.
Good,
because,
as you should.
Yeah. Can't wait. If they get back together, it's going to be the greatest thing. But it's going to be like the same thing with John and Mr. Yoko. What's his name?
Oh, Paul McCartney.
That's the one.
Mr. Yoko.
You know, Mr. Yoko.
I get them all confused. They all look the same to me. So, we got 2 years left. Yeah. But before we get into political stuff,
sure.
Rest in peace to the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, also known as Patti LaBelle by the Fox News Network.
Game over.
Oh my God, did they make yourself the name?
Yeah, no, they did. Okay, so she passed away. So instead of putting Aretha Franklin's face, they put Patti LaBelle's face.
No, it was worse, actually. It's Aretha Franklin, and then next to her, a picture of Patti LaBelle. Like, oh, don't those two black women look alike?
Oh, thank God they didn't use Della Reese, though. I mean, like,
you shot me in the pinky toe. You know about Della Reese?
No.
Do you ever seen Harlem Nights?
No.
Eddie, no?
No, not
Jack?
Harlem Nights.
Jack, no Harlem Nights?
I have not seen Harlem Nights.
That is... And you're a fan of kind of less than perfect films.
So. I have a distinct appreciation for certain types of films, yes.
Oh, you like bad movies?
I do.
Oh, my God. Any, like, B-monster movies?
This one was kind of a train wreck, but it still, like, holds dear in all of our hearts. It was Eddie Murphy... Richard Pryor and Red Fox decided to make a movie, and they brought Arsenio Hall with them.
Now, at this time, you got to understand, Eddie Murphy was hot, right?
Oh, height of his career.
I was going to say, is this height of Eddie?
This is the 80s powers. Eddie, yeah.
Red Fox was senile at that point, and he couldn't see, so he couldn't read his line.
And this
and
this
Richard Pryor had...
Post-fire.
I was going to ask, because he set himself on fire.
This is post-fire Pryor.
Okay.
Wait, he set himself on fire?
Yeah. Smoking crack.
He was so he was so high on drugs he set himself on fire once.
Yeah.
And then he turned into a great stand-up bit.
Such a great bit.
Yeah.
He took off.
He used to have this bit about how he learned that new people in New York are rude. He goes, but if you set yourself on fire, everyone will get out of your way.
So yeah, if you haven't, it's a fantastic film of just a lot of just hijinks.
Wait,
you know?
What is your go-to bad movie?
I'm thinking of it because the poster on the wall here, but I'm a big fan of like all the Adam West Batman stuff, so I like that. Rebecca's a big fan of Sharknado.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
Sharknado?
I'm anything obsessed. With a shark in.
Like,
did you go see The Meg?
Movies.
We saw it last week.
Oh my God, yeah.
What did you think of The Meg?
I really liked it. Yeah. There were some bits of it in it. I was just like, did that really need to be there? Like, when she's like, her father's dying from being hit on the head. Not even like being eaten by the shark. He got hit on the head.
Wait, there are non-shark related deaths in this movie?
Yes. Spoilers, the shark isn't the main cause of everyone's death.
That's horrible.
Oh my God. It's just ridiculous.
When the times when it fails is when it's actually trying to be a film with dramatic.
Yeah. But like, it does take the mick out of itself, which I really love.
It has
like some like Finding Nemo references in there and stuff. It just keeps swimming and it's really funny.
All right, cool.
But
I like how she was criticizing like the movie, but she loves Sharknado. I can't even watch the previews. Like it's like this is just
dumb. Oh my God. Any like monster movies, so like the land shark, avalanche sharks, like snow sharks.
The Megalodon's film series, did you ever see that?
The Megalodon.
Megalodon series. Is a series of
low budget.
So you guys really like
they use a
the
nurse
sci-fi
shark
channel.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
the sci-fi original movies. I freaking love
them. Yeah, because they make the bootlegs.
They're the worst.
But they are so
they have
bad.
What I like to call
Octo Shark. Oh my God, I love Shocktopus.
Yeah. Either title works.
I love the sci-fi movies because they basically took the special effects from Hercules, The Legendary Journey, and said, we're done here. We're not going to go any further than these special effects.
Special effects have not advanced beyond this point.
This is all we need right here.
They have like instead of Transformers movie,
Transmorphers.
Transmorphers or something like that.
It's like when you're a kid and you see like PlayStation 2 graphics for the first time. And you go like, oh wow, nothing could look any better than this.
Yeah.
It's like they never checked in again. They just went away and started making PlayStation 2 games and they released it for the Xbox.
Have you tried going back and playing a PlayStation?
I've tried.
I can't do it.
Oh my God. Do you know what's an awful one? Is the Lion King movie. So one of my friends, for a wedding gift, she got this, this box that just had everything like downloaded onto it, all the old games.
Right.
And we played The Lion King. It is the most difficult thing in the entire world.
Old, like, old games are incredibly difficult.
But, like, so this one, like, if you die, you have to start all over again. Mm-hmm. No matter what level you're on, you have to go all the way back to the beginning.
Well, because the early games, the old programmers, all they had done was made arcade games, and they were just meant to eat quarters.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize people want to finish the game when they actually buy them.
When they play them at home,
It wasn't until PlayStation N64 that you're like, oh, I can beat some of these games.
Nintendo had, I think Zelda was one of the first games that you could save.
Zelda was the first game
you could save. And that was like one of the weirdest things, like save the
game. Yeah, no, keep going, bro.
Can't stop. But no, Lion King is notoriously known as one of the most difficult games.
Yeah.
I think Bart Simpson versus
the RoboCop's the worst.
RoboCop?
RoboCop was bad on the NES. Yeah. RoboCop. Mm-hmm. I can't beat it.
In terms of thinking about graphics, and I think there's a real art, like, for like this year I played Shadow of the Colossus.
Okay, I've heard that's really fantastic.
It really is, but it's a remake. There's a real art to, you remember how certain things are in your head,
right,
and then when you go back and look at it, it's never as good as you really remember.
Mm-hmm.
But a good remake makes you think, oh, this is how it looked all along until you go back and look at it. So a real good example of, like, have you guys played Star Fox?
Yes.
Yes.
So have you played it recently?
No.
So you have a memory in your head of, like, oh, you know, I'm in a spaceship, I'm doing this. If you go back, you're a triangle.
Yes.
And you're fighting the evil squares. And occasionally a circle will appear.
Like, it was special edition.
But it was
very
great.
Interesting what your mind will fill in.
Right.
Jay, well, I've heard that about, like, rewatching The Neverending Story. Now, I watched that when I was a kid. And everyone has told me, don't watch it again. Watch it when you're older, because
I don't
just
like
will
that
not
dragon
hit
thing.
You at the
Falcor?
Same time.
I don't like him.
Aw. I like it when he, like, dives at the bullies. He's like,
it's like a combination of a Maltese, and then he sounds like a molester kind of thing.
That's actually, that's Alan Oppenheimer's voice.
Come and rub the back of my...
That's the voice of Skeletor.
Is it?
It's Alan Oppenheimer.
Is he the same person?
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Wow.
Yeah, explains a lot.
But we have this discussion quite often, because I have not watched a lot of movies that you should have watched when you were younger. So something like The Goonies, I watched very recently.
Okay. By recently, she means last month.
Yeah, like 2 months ago reason. Or something.
Wow.
And I was watching it like... What is this film? Like, why
it's a bunch of kids running around
so
screaming
good?
For an hour and a half.
There's
parts
disturbing.
In that film where they threaten to put a kid's hand in a blender.
Yeah.
You
my
forget
goodness.
About that.
Yeah. And then you have, like, this creepy, like, guy following around this child and touching him and carrying him.
That's
a
sloth,
like,
yes.
Yeah.
What is this?
So in my head as well, I remember the joke of, oh, isn't that funny? The older girl kisses the younger boy by mistake.
Right.
And they make the joke of, oh, there must be a hole around here, and Rebecca, coming to it for the first time, went, this is horrible. This is an overage girl kissing an underage boy. Like,
you're applying the sensitivities of now.
Yeah, you can't
exactly.
Let me explain something to you about the 1980s. Whenever you pick a movie between the time of 1980 to 1989, there was a lot of cocaine in that industry. Okay.
Oh god.
Because it, Gremlins, you've seen Gremlins?
Oh yes, I have seen Gremlins.
Have you seen Gremlins too?
No,
you haven't seen Gremlins.
I didn't like the first Gremlins so much. Like, I didn't watch Gremlins.
If you didn't like the first Gremlins, you'll love the second one.
I know Hulk Hogan, like, does a thing in Gremlins 2. Yeah,
the whole in it. It's Gremlins 2 is like, you know how Sharknado didn't know it was a bad movie. You know how Sharknado tried to play, like, half serious, half funny, and then the second one, they realized everyone liked
bad movies.
Yeah,
the second
movies.
One is the one that's my favorite.
So, Gremlins 2, they double down on the silliness.
Yes.
It's not so. Like, the first film is very dark. The second film isn't actually that dark by comparison.
It's a straight-up comedy.
Everyone's just stupid in the first film. Like, literally, everyone is so stupid.
Oh.
It's just like, you don't. I don't root for any of them because they're such morons.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Like, they literally do everything wrong. Like, everything you could possibly do
Rebecca, America's very harsh watching movies sometimes.
Yeah. I want to see how you're going to deal with gremlins start multiplying in your swimming pool.
Does she talk to the TV?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I yell. He hates watching movies with me. I talk all the way through with the movies. And
what are you doing?
So the thing we watched 2 weeks ago, because I wanted to watch Cobra Kai on YouTube, was...
Excellent.
Rebecca hadn't seen Karate Kid until a few weeks ago.
Okay. Oh, loved it, by the way. Can I just say loved it? Like, the acting, the writing was amazing.
I have some autographs for you, by the way. I forgot to bring them today.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Yeah. So, Rebecca watches Karate Kid for the first time. Now, bear in mind, she's not watched it, so her only point of reference for Karate Kid is two things. One is Barney Stinson from How I Met Your Mother, who insists that Daniel is the bad guy. And two, the YouTube video that insists that Daniel is the bad guy. So the whole time Rebecca's watching it, she's going, you know, they've got a point. This kid's not very nice. Like, up until where the bullies shove him off his bike down a hill, and she went, actually, no, that's attempted murder. He's probably in the right.
And they conveniently leave that scene out of Cobra Kai. Like, he mentions like everything else. Every other event that happens in the first film is mentioned apart from that one. I'm like, yeah, because they tried to kill him.
Except from the actual physical assault.
That's how history works. It is. You know, everybody, like, we used to think the samurais were great, noble people. Until last time that we recorded the episode and we learned that samurais are complete assholes. Like, I had no idea.
They were wealthy people with swords.
Yo.
It's in everyone. Yeah. Everyone so I like, history is recorded about.
I like how you destroyed chivalry for them a long time ago.
I like how she watches a movie and she's like a constable just writing down charges. That's attempted murder.
Child endangerment.
What was the one you're in? Like, so you came around and Daniel, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay, yeah.
So we watched that last year and...
Maybe
2 years ago. It's probably before we came here. Rebecca was watching it going like, he's an awful person. Like, it's like Ferris Bueller is... And I was like, no, he, as a young guy, he's cool. He's the guy you want to skip school with. She's like, but he's awful to everyone around him just so he gets his own way. And I'm like, yeah, but... but it's cool, right? No, he's an asshole.
No,
this is nice. Oh, okay.
I like Cameron. You like Cameron? You felt bad for Cameron?
I don't really remember the movie. I remember kind of watching it, and I remember having this opinion, but I don't remember really what happens in it.
Nothing happened in that movie. I know he destroys
some, like, his father's car.
His father's
car. And I'm just like, Cameron's wow, father's you're car. An Cameron's asshole. Father's car, yeah. Like, you just destroyed someone's car.
And then he's like, it's no big deal, you'll be fine.
Yeah, he kind of goes like, I'll take responsibility for it in his friend, in obviously the cinematic moment of no, I will stand up to my father. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, make him take the blame. It's his fault.
Oh, my children are gonna hate me. Okay, like, mom, can I just get away with it?
I can't wait till you see PCU with her.
Oh, PCU is fantastic. I love that movie. So Mighty Ducks. Have you guys seen Mighty Ducks?
I have seen Mighty Ducks.
Okay, so it's a hockey game, a hockey movie kind of thing. But okay.
It's the Goonies on ice.
So you guys are from the other side of the pond, and I'm pretty sure you guys are. They love you. Love your football over there. Have you guys seen Ladybugs?
No.
That's the Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh God, no! Don't do that to them.
Jonathan Brandis.
What did Rodney Dangerfield do now?
So
that's what. The last thing he did?
Really?
I think it was the last thing he did.
Okay, there's a couple 80s movies you got to watch. And back in the 80s, there was a lot of movies about girls pretending to be boys to, you know, accomplish their goals. So this particular movie was different. Rodney Dangerfield had to coach a team for his boss's team. It's an all-female team, and they're horrible. His son or his stepson or something like that.
His girlfriend's son.
Great at playing soccer. Mm-hmm. So he goes, here, you got to pretend to be a girl. He gives him a wig. And he has everything there. They're winning until they find out he's a boy, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. And the girls find, I'm spoiling the movie, but
no,
the,
I don't
you'll
think
see
it
in the
is.
Trailer. The girls come together. They have enough confidence.
In themselves.
In themselves.
Oh, but, wow.
Because of this Caitlyn Jenner type guy.
Because of a man. How forward thinking.
Yeah.
But if you watch the movie, the final scene after he stops pretending to be a girl and then all the girls are playing, and if you watch the footage of the game, it's very clearly a bunch of boys in wigs pretending to be girls.
Doesn't he fall in love with one of the
girls? Pretend to play soccer.
He falls in love with one of the girls in the team, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So he catfishes her.
And then, like, within 5 years of that movie, I think Roddy Dangerfield died and Jonathan Braden killed himself. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Happy ending.
There we go.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. Also, Back to School. Another movie you guys should watch.
Mm-hmm. Back to School.
Oh, I've seen Back to School. I have seen Back to School Triple many, ending. Many years ago.
Triple ending.
I'll show you some 41's music video of In Too Deep, and that is pretty much a summary of the entire film.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Football fan, you...
I am not a I'm the only English person who's not a football really? Fan. I know.
Wow, okay. Know. That's good. Becca, no?
I used to, but it's kind of hard to keep up with over here because of the time difference. They actually...
I get up at 7 o'clock in the morning to watch. And
yeah,
if I get a chance,
I
go to a bar.
Ever get up at
7 I moved from New York to Florida and find it difficult to stay up with the Mets, and the time zone didn't even change. So that's very understandable, I think.
Yeah.
Hi, Daniel.
All right.
What are we learning today, buddy?
We're going to go back to one of your favorite periods in history.
Oh.
We're going back to the Crusader years.
Yes!
So
knives and beheadings!
I know you love the Crusades. I know it's, but they were going to a time before your favorite historical figure, though.
It's before Braveheart?
No, before the Doge.
Before the Doge. Before the Doge?
Before the Fourth Crusade and the Doge of Venice.
Wow, we're going prequel.
In between the Second and the Third Crusades.
Okay.
All right, there was this country called England.
Oh, never heard of it.
Ruled by French people.
And it was ruled by French people. Not one English king spoke any English.
Really?
No.
Mm.
Okay. So. I did not know about that.
Mm-hmm. Right. No one of any nobility was speaking English. Everyone was speaking French at this point in time. Only the commoners spoke English.
Really?
Yeah. The family in power at the time, the Plantagenets. This is my favorite way of describing them. Somebody describes them as they're French nobles who just happen to rule England.
And it was true. The nobility themselves didn't even like the fact that they were kings of England. They were always trying to expand their holdings in France against their cousins, who were the actual kings of France.
Okay.
And that kind of started this rivalry, which eventually leads to the Hundred Years' War and all these things later, which we still haven't done a Hundred Years' War yet.
So they took England.
1066, they take England.
Uh-huh, they take
the
England.
The French take England.
Just because they're... Hold up.
Okay.
The nobles of France, or whatever these guys end up...
What are the noble ruling, houses of France? The House of Normandy.
Take over England.
Right.
Because they don't like the cousins who actually have France?
No, they took over England because there was a void in the...
They needed an island?
There was a void in who the next heir was.
Okay.
And technically, because the Normans were half Viking and the ruler of England was also half Viking, that gave them a blood lineage and right to invade England and take over.
Oh, okay.
And
this is also the reason why, if you look at particularly like American English is spelled slightly differently, but if you look at like English spelling and you wonder why certain things aren't pronounced the way they're spelt,
yes,
it's usually because of either French or Latin influences on
you
the
guys
language.
Say schedule very differently.
Schedule,
yeah, yeah,
there's a CH there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like how we say herbs because there's a H in it.
Yeah, you guys wrote
herbs.
I don't know.
Yeah, our H is very silent, but you guys CH the hell out of schedule.
Schedule.
Do you say aluminum or aluminium?
Aluminium.
Aluminium.
It's so much more fun to say aluminium.
Now, do you guys say scheme or do you guys sheme?
What
like
that?
A dirty what? Scheme.
And
like
a scheme. Scheme.
Oh, a scheme.
Yeah.
Scheme. Yeah, it's a SCH. Wait, so you guys pick and choose when you guys going to...
As I just explained, blame the French. Usually down to Latin or the
put
French.
Put it down.
Actually, this is a complete aside. Actually, there's a lot of words in English which have nothing to do with Latin or French. It's just that when they were collecting the early dictionaries, the scholar thought, "Oh, if I add an extra Y or an I or an E here, it will look more like a Latin word."
That's funny.
Oh,
so that's why there's a lot of silent E's and I's and stuff in the language that's never pronounced, because this one scholar went, "Let's make it look like Latin.
Let's make it look fancy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's put a bow on it."
It's like a kid that doesn't know how to use commas, so they just use it all the time, just to make themselves look like a good writer.
How many copies? That's
me. I was the comma warrior. Either I used too many, mm-hmm. or I didn't use it. It was the run-on sentence forever. Right. Just I don't know when to stop.
So we start here. We're in England. So the rulers of England are really French.
Okay.
Okay. Just kind of establish that idea here. And we're in the 1100s.
Okay.
Which is a very exciting time in world history in general.
Why?
It is pretty much... This is going to be the end of the established order of things all around the world. Genghis Khan is born at the end of this century.
Oh!
And he's about to wreck everything. Okay? Like, everything. Everything's going to change in Asia.
The first action here.
Right. At this point, this is going to be... This is the last of the crusades that went anywhere. And everything's going to fall here. This is pretty much the start of the fall of the medieval period and into the Renaissance in about 1250, 1300. So this is a pretty like important era here is the 1100s.
Is this bow and arrow, gunpowder era, or just swords and
still swords? Arrow? We're not in the gunpowder just yet. Gunpowder doesn't show up in Europe until the Hundred Years' War in the 1400s.
Okay.
That's the French.
French brought that too?
They bought it from the Turks, but yeah.
The Turks.
It was the first time really seen in a major war. The French started using cannon against the English. They were getting their asses kicked by the longbow for like 80 years.
I just would have loved to just see the faces of the French. Boom! Like, what the hell was that?
And that's basically the only thing it could do, because it couldn't aim for shit. It was just big bang smoke. That was what they had going for them.
They got a dragon.
So I don't know how much you know about like English longbowmen as well. So in England, like for a podcast audience, imagine you're doing the peace sign, but the palm is facing towards you.
Okay.
That's like doing the middle finger in England.
Word.
And this developed because English French archers would fight the French. If the French caught them, they would chop their two fingers off, so they couldn't be bowmen anymore. So the English, as they retreated from the French, would flip them the V to say, look, I still have my fingers. And mm-hmm. that became a universal swear in England.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
I got to make sure I do this.
Yes.
When you're in England, you do this. Yeah, right. Yeah. Palm out.
Sometimes I go like this, but it's that I don't mean any offense. It's just my hand is in a natural position here.
Right. So it's funny, if you look at old pictures of Winston Churchill, who had no idea that was a common way of swearing, because V for victory was a thing during the war.
Yeah.
There's a few pictures of him doing that to cameras until one of his people said, like, you're swearing.
Yeah, turn your hand around, Winston.
Right. The poor people think you're swearing.
Winston, go turn your hand around. It's like,
oh. Okay, here's... Okay, let me... side note.
It's in the Gary Oldman movie.
This happened to me this weekend. My buddy from Denver brought me some edibles.
Okay.
S'mores. So I took a square, which is around 30 milligrams, me and my wife.
Oh, Felicidades.
We took it.
And watched Henry V.
And we got lit completely off. To the point that... You know how you say random things?
Right.
I go to my wife. It's like, I forget what movie. We're watching Chicago.
Right.
The musical. I don't know why I said this. And I go, you need to have at least three fingers for it to be a hand. Anything less than three fingers is not a hand.
Well, you're holding up two fingers and a thumb there.
Yes, but then I said, but the thumb has to be in there to be a hand. Like, if you don't have a thumb, it doesn't, it's just a... I forget what it was. I think we're watching an MMA guy that was fighting and didn't make it because he has one hand. And
Jack, do you know of another guy with
that's
one
Nick
hand?
Newell.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. No, the guy was, he fought for like the title, but Dana White says, you're not good enough.
Ouch.
But we'll take this this wife beater football player and we're going to develop him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's my side note of my
okay.
My
okay.
You need three fingers at least.
All right.
Thumb is mandatory for it to be legally a hand. That's all I'm saying.
Legally?
Legally a hand. In my book. Okay. Put it there.
All right. So we talked about the Crusades before, about what started it, really. This is a holy war right now. It's been going on. The first one was very successful for the Crusaders. Now comes Crusade number two.
Okay.
And kind of this is where England and France are going to start to fit in here. Because the first Crusade, the kings of Europe didn't care. They didn't do anything. It was mostly the, mm-hmm. the higher nobles that went. We talked about the People's Crusade as well. Mm-hmm. That was a big failure. Well, now the Muslims are united.
So now it's Crusades 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Right.
Now we go crazy.
Crusade harder.
Crusade harder. So the Muslims have gotten together, more or less. More or less. They're under a Turk by the name of Zengi, and he's got an Arab friend down south called Nur ed-Din.
Okay.
And essentially, they are working their way. They've captured the city of Edessa, and they're starting to take Crusader lands. And so a second crusade is called by the Pope. Now, at this point, the French are trying to prove themselves because... there was a little bit of a contention between the Pope and the King of France at this time.
What was their beef?
The usual, I want to select your bishop, no, I want to select my bishop type of stuff. And then there was also, what was the major contention point there?
Money?
Well, yeah, of course, okay. It's the Catholic Church. So, of course, it was money. And so it is going to be this wonderful excursion out to defeat the Muslims led by the very unimpressive King Louis the XII.
I think I remember this dude.
He was a complete fart. Yeah. It really was. If you farted in your hand, it would have been more charisma than this king.
Wow, really?
He was a pushover. And his entire... I mean, he was known as being that nice guy that everybody walks over type of thing.
Ah, all right. Classic good guy, finished last kind of guy.
The only thing that stands...
Except he's the king.
Right. The only thing that's...
With a crown.
The only thing that stands out about this guy is his wife.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Who is awesome.
Right. I'm gonna pass it over to Clara here. Because
what's the deal with
his wife? His wife is a lady called Eleanor of Aquitaine, and she marries him very, very young. I think she's about 13 mm-hmm. or 14 when she marries him.
And back then it was arranged marriages. It wasn't like I met you in grade school.
Absolutely. So she was a very desired woman in France, well, in Europe at that time, because
at 13?
Yeah. Well, she had claim to a piece of land called Aquitaine, which is was an extremely big part of France at the time. So she was very desired, but she was like this fiery woman who was like, she kind of like talked to Louis like, you're an idiot, I'm just gonna do my own thing. So
she led her own army.
She was awesome. So like the crusades are announced, and she like, the stories are she rides in on a white horse and like demands that she's going to the crusades. I'm not sure if she had the white horse, but she demands that she's gonna accompany Louis on the crusades, which is completely unheard of for a queen to do this. And she at this time, I think she's in, she eventually marries somebody else when she's 21, so I think she's still under, she must have still been in her really early teens when she did this. I can't remember how old she was, but so she gets the blessing.
She was married 13 at 6, I'll give her 16, 17.
I think she's married, she's born I think around 1122, the crusades, so she's about early 20s, because the second crusade's in 1144. So yeah, she's about, I think, like late teens, early 20s is where she probably is at by the time the crusade starts.
This is my favorite part of Dan's thing, because Dan will go, she was born in 1123. No, I take that back. 1120. Like, he has to be specific to the year. Somebody's going to review us and be like, hey, first of all, assholes, you guys were way off. By the date. Okay, so it's 14. All right, we're going to give her her teens. My kid is 14. And I can't, I pray that I have a house when I come back. This one's leading, like...
Yeah, she was really cool. So at the time, there was also another female in Europe called Matilda, who was fighting England. Oh, for sure. But she was fighting in England to be the first English queen at the time. So there was a very, like... There was a very, like, strong females can do what men can do kind of thing going on in Europe. Did they like each other? They hadn't met each other at this point, I don't think. They might have met in passing in the government or something, I don't know.
It just so happened to be that, was her father a Henry? Matilda's.
Matilda's father, Henry the First.
Henry the First, okay. So, Matilda's situation, who was nicknamed the She-Wolf, which gives you an idea of her personality type. was her father had requested, Henry I had requested that when he died that Matilda should take the throne. And everyone agreed, thinking, that's not going to happen for a long, long time. Like, and lo and behold, he, of course, is earlier than... They now have an agreement to let Matilda be the king of England, because queen just meant the wife of a king. So the actual, she was going to be a king of England. She was going to rule.
Wow.
And I believe, and you know this more than me, she went to France at this time.
At this time, England had Normandy, which is like the northern part of France, under its control as well. So she went up and secured it. I can't remember. It's something beginning with an A. I can't remember what it's called. But she went up to secure a castle there. And then while she was there, she got pregnant. Lady luck. So she couldn't travel for whatever reason. It's never really documented whether she got ill or anything. So she didn't travel. So her lovely, I think, cousin Stephen... got his brother, who happened to be the Archbishop of Canterbury.
And the Archbishop of Canterbury is the only person who can crown the next King of England.
So he crowns himself while she's in France, and she's like, excuse me? But anyway, this is all going on anyway when Eleanor is...
I diverted the whole thing.
Foreshadowing here.
So that actually does play into some things later. So this is happening in England with the nobility.
Archbishops and this family don't get along.
That
was straight up dirty.
That sets up some things for the Second Crusade, actually. So there's what it is.
Is it offensive that the British Bulldogs travel with the bulldog called Matilda?
No,
wasn't.
Okay. I didn't think that was no.
Matilda's just a really old British name. Like, yeah.
Okay. I just want to know.
We love our dogs anyway. So.
Sometimes they waltz.
So, like, Eleanor has this amazing woman to look to at this time. Okay. So she probably like felt that she had a lot more. Women are doing this, so I want to go on crusade.
Yeah, yeah.
So she gets like blessed and everything, and she goes on crusade with her husband, who's a dumbass.
such a drip.
So she.
That's a fun way to...
Honey! There are like a handful of just monarchs who are just like, why are you alive? And he is right up there on that pedestal.
It's like Prince Valium in Spaceballs.
Is it like the Prince in Braveheart kind of thing? you know what I'm talking about?
That's one of England's shame. That's James the First. Is it James the First?
No, James is kind of one of those cuckolds out there. Now, John is definitely another one that's just like a fart in the wind. We'll get to that. I think he was talking about Edward II is from the Braveheart.
Longshanks
is Edward I, and then Edward II.
They take
is
a lot
son.
Of liberties with.
That's another rabbit hole. Let's not.
Yeah.
We'll bring them
about,
back to shit on Braveheart. For
wait, what?
Oh, I'll bring a Scotsman with me next time.
Oh no, bring it, because that's one of my favorite movies. Because I thought it was great, and then everybody I speak to is like, that shit didn't.
Not even a little.
It's a great movie. It doesn't mean any of that stuff actually happened.
Right.
So the person like who most of that did happen to is Bruce. In the film, though, he's like portrayed as like this horrible treasonous
coward.
Asshole.
Yeah. He's a coward, yeah.
He's not. He's Braveheart.
He's the Braveheart. That's his actual title, too.
Bruce the Braveheart.
Okay, so when I went to
you went to Scotland,
to the castle,
right?
I went to the castle, the first thing they show you is like, Bruce and this Braveheart, the Mel Gibson guy, whatever.
Yeah, tourism.
Yeah, it's like, okay.
And they won't make money.
They nailed it.
Right.
Then that's when I had like my seventh tray of...
Oh, wait till I tell you what the actual Battle of Stirling was.
No, they didn't talk anything about
it. Oh, don't worry. Like we said with Matilda, we've teased it a bit. We're going to kill Robin Hood for you as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back to this. This is the family then.
Go.
So the Second Crusade is a disaster for the Crusaders.
Oh.
They come in, swing in. They think they're on the run. The Muslims just have them. They know where they're going. They have the plan. They're united for the first time. It's not a snitch. It's just Zenji and Nur ad-Din just had the Turks on lock, and it's a different type of Turk. It's more fanatical Muslims that are coming in from the east. And they are not sitting like they've totally overthrown the Seljuk dynasty. So it's a different breed of Muslim that's there, different breed of Turk. And the Crusaders really thought that the old tactics were going to work. And the reason the First Crusade was so successful was the element of surprise. Nobody expected that many armor-clad, beefcakes with swords coming in and attacking.
Yeah.
But now they're like, oh, so...
Now we know what we're doing.
Yeah, and they're doing tactics like, oh, that's nice armor. Let's see you survive in the desert for a little while I dance around you on my fast horse and light armor. And eventually the Crusader...
Wait, they did the Dothraki shit?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. They were much smarter than, than any European armies going there, because they would, like, poison the water holes and things like that and, like, just leave them to, like, starve.
That was basically how Islam claimed back Jerusalem, was they drew them out of the city to what they thought was a neutral fighting ground, but they had poisoned all of the sources of water.
Yep.
Just sat there and just like, well, we're going to win this.
Yeah. It was, so
they got a drink eventually. What time is it?
So Second Crusade, just total shambles. Louis has to go back. And of course they're gonna claim whatever minor victory. Propaganda machine's gonna go on for those who can read, and everything like that. And by that time, I believe Matilda's boy is all grown up.
Yes, he is.
Wait, the one she was pregnant with?
No, so that's actually like her fourth child that she gets pregnant with before she goes over. She has she has a daughter by Louis, and she also has. I think she has like four sons eventually, but I think she's got like two, like,
we don't know.
They all have so many children.
No, sorry, it's Eleanor. Sorry, I'm getting Eleanor and Matilda mixed up. It's okay. Eleanor who has she's got the daughter by now.
Mm-hmm.
But no,
so Eleanor
Matilda has a son called Henry II. He's Henry II.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I heard about that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it that one? No. Yeah. It's Henry V.
Henry V is Agincourt. Henry VII, we did for War of the Roses. Henry VIII is the one with the wives. Is that if that's what you're
What's
doing?
The guy with the speech?
That's Shakespeare.
No, that's George the Sixth.
I think you might be thinking of Richard III as well.
Is that what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're thinking of the
Kenneth Brenner. God damn it!
Oh,
Kenneth Brenner.
That's Henry V.
Thank you.
That's the Crispin's Day speech. Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Henry II is born.
Christian Bale was in that war too. I saw him.
Yeah, we saw.
Yeah, Henry's been born a few years before this, which is actually how all of this conflict comes to an end. So Matilda actually does win this war.
Yes.
Okay.
Between her and Stephen, and on her way to be coronated, during the ceremonies that lead up to the coronation, she starts acting like a king, and all the men go, not too sure we like this.
Wait a minute.
What is she doing?
She's just being in charge.
Like decapitating people and stuff?
No,
like that? Like,
just
what's she doing?
Passing laws.
So they describe her as not acting like the gentler sex. So she's being very arrogant.
Oh.
She's arrogant, all of this.
Mancho,
rubbish.
She's very, very macho.
Yeah, she's acting like a king should. She's acting like a commander. And I don't know, maybe they had a different idea that she'd be a pushover, but not Matilda. You know, she's a warrior, like this woman. So on her way to be coronated, an angry mob breaks into London of a couple of thousand, and they're armed and they chase her out of London. And
this mob is what, French? English combination,
yeah,
okay.
English, and they chase her out of London, and then,
commoners,
bit of both, bit
paid
of
protesters,
yeah,
paid, oh,
yeah, they like the nobles kind of need her out of the way a bit, but like during this time, people get captured, and she ends up having to trade back the King Stephen, who she's actually already captured, because she wins, And they eventually come to an agreement where Stephen's allowed to rule, but when Stephen dies, her son will be king. So the succession will go her line, not his.
Okay.
and he's dead. So King Henry II is king. Her son, yeah. Not her.
Okay.
And Apple does not fall from the tree as far as authority. As authority. You're talking about big dick swinging. This is Henry II. Really... That you know how we talked about that swagger that Henry VIII had?
Conor McGregor swagger.
This one can actually back it up, though. That's the difference.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's just all... And he gets into this rivalry with Louis. And you know how that goes. It's, you know, just, oh, what's that part of France? I'm going to take that now.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I guess you'll do better. Than,
I like
you know,
these little baguettes. I'll take these baguettes.
And at this time, Louis is having some marital problems.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's not liking his wife because she's not fulfilling her obligations.
What's her obligation?
Have babies.
She needs to give him a son.
Oh, a son?
And they've all been daughters, so there's something wrong with her.
Oh, yes.
Very specifically, has to be a son.
Yeah.
Has to be a son.
How many times have they tried?
She's had 3 daughters by now.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Something that I don't remember. Wow. She's had a couple of daughters.
Did he try putting socks on? Because I heard that helps. Go ahead.
And so he's got to get rid of her, but the Catholic Church doesn't believe in divorce. They have to do what's called the annulment, which, and again, we've talked about when we talked about Henry.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, I'm going to send my trusted advisor down with a big ton of cash to the Pope, and by the way, if you could just say this marriage never happened, that'd be fantastic. And that's what the Pope does.
Okay.
Yeah, so the reason they give is because they're like 5th and 6th cousin, like removed.
Mm.
Which is like a law. If you're you shouldn't be allowed to marry if you're like, I think there's a law that you're not allowed to marry if you're like within 7 generations you're related to each other.
Oh, okay.
Which most of the time you kind of have to ignore in nobility because they all marry each other and it's an incestuous little pot.
Yeah.
But when you want to get rid of your wife, it's quite convenient to be like, well, she's my 5th wife. Like,
you've seen the royal family.
Yeah. I don't know if you know the monarchy of Alabama, but that family tree is just one stump.
I mean, you can kind of see it in the royal family today. Like the older generation, definitely.
Oh, for sure. They are losing.
Even the boys, definitely not. Yeah.
They were so handsome when they were so young.
When they were so young, yeah.
I was like, yo, what's up with your hair, Will?
But now especially the second one, you know, I got that nice interspecies there, right?
Yeah. I can't wait for the first kid. Ah, it's going to unite the world.
It's going to look like The Rock. It's going to be fantastic.
Is it going to be The Rock?
King Rock. That's what it'll be.
King Rock.
So, you know, the annulment happens.
Okay.
She's not too bothered about this. She's proper chill about this. Yeah. She's like, oh no, I'll just go to Paris.
Mm-hmm. Without me looking at Google, Louis is the one that they always show, like the big guy. No, that's not him? Okay. No.
There's a lot of Louis.
I guess I get all the Louis confused. There are so many.
No, this will be the last Louis for a long time.
But this is not the one that decapitated.
That's the 16th. That's the 16th, yeah.
Of the Louis?
Louis the 16th is the one who gets killed. Who gets decapitated.
No, the one that's like, yo, the wife, I'm done with that one, chop her head off. Is that...
That you're thinking of Henry VIII.
That's Henry VIII.
That's what I'm talking about?
Yeah, okay, yeah. The Louis don't really do that. They exile their moms
from
time
to time. No one really does that apart from Henry VIII.
It's kind of why he stands out as an interesting case is that, like, they asked for an annulment and a divorce and they went, no. And he went, I guess I'll kill her then.
She fell...
So, like Clara was saying, it's, you know, it's, she's not too worried. One, because again, he's a fart in a hand.
Yeah.
And two, she's still the wealthiest woman in Europe. She owns the Aquitaine. Sure. Like, the suitor list is going to be down the street.
So who pushes up to her?
Wow.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Who's the biggest, baddest in Europe right now?
Well, Mr. Big Dick Swing starts knocking on the door. And she's like 10 years older than him.
Yeah.
Oh, I think, yeah.
She's supposed to have been very beautiful. She's described as a very, very beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Like, very smart and very beautiful.
And so Henry II marries...
Are there paintings of this chick?
There's only...
Right, so I just got to take your word for it, right?
You're going to get pictures of Catherine Hepburn. Watch out.
The only image that survives of her is the statue she has on top of her grave, where she's holding a book. Which wasn't like a very usual thing, but like the book was like symbolizing she was pretty smart.
Okay.
But like she's described as like a beauty, like they describe her as that.
that book written by Eleanor by any chance?
Oh my god, I wish. Do you know how much I wish there was more history written by women? Like, you always have to kind of hear about these women. Like, you have to kind of pick between the lines of, like, all of these men. So, a lot of, like, the stuff about Matilda and Eleanor are all written by men who don't like them.
They used to write... they used to write books. I heard about this. They used to write books, but they didn't find out. They would chop off this index and the thumb fingers. And that's what the... Never mind.
So, they get married.
Okay.
You know, it's very nice of him to marry this deficient woman that can't produce sons. She gives him 4 sons.
What?
Yeah.
5 sons, actually.
Yeah, but she gives him the 5. First one dies at age two.
William, yeah.
Wait, he got the what?
The first one dies at age 2, William.
For what?
Anything. At this time, anything.
Being alive in the Middle Ages. All right. Yeah. So, but then he gets 4 sons out of her.
Yo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that'll come to bite him in the ass, Leah. Like, trust.
So, but still, the other guy just dropped her off. So you don't.
Right. The other guy eventually gets his son with the next wife.
Oh, he does. Yeah, right. He's cool with that.
His name is Philip II.
All right.
And night and day, dad and son. Okay. Philip II becomes one of the greatest French kings ever. Mm-hmm. He calls himself Philip Augustus afterwards. So there we go. That's not going to lead to any contention with Henry's sons whatsoever. So then we have 4 sons.
Okay.
And the thing is, Henry married Eleanor, you know, partially because of mostly because of the land and everything and the wealth, but also it kind of that whole, you know, you tend to go for the woman that's kind of like your mother type of, you know, okay. Kind of thing. Yeah, so yeah. Very strong, authoritative, don't take no shit, Matilda.
She ran the house.
Eleanor doesn't take any shit either, which is cute for the first few years.
Yeah, right. Men love strong women until they realize, oh, they're strong women.
Well, man, she frustrates the shit out of him throughout the rest.
Man, why do you think I do a podcast with you any chance I get? 17 years with that 5'2 savage that I have in my house. And she doesn't listen to this, so I'll talk shit about her. I don't care. But she's great. She keeps everything in order. She's very mama bear type deal. But yeah. Oh my god, is it so annoying sometimes. So.
You'll get to that point. You'll stop watching his matches. Next week. I'm sure he had a match last week. Whatever. Are you still on TV? Yeah, good. Yeah.
Cool. Check's still rolling in, baby.
Interesting side note. So Henry and Eleanor are actually third cousins.
So, so they break the law.
Yeah, the reason that they give for like divorcing the French king is like fifth cousins. Her and Henry are third cousins. So it's like, man, that law really doesn't count unless a man wants to get rid of his wife.
So they have 4 sons.
Uh-huh.
Then Henry.
Henry.
Who's supposed to become Henry the Third,
uh-huh.
You know, and Henry puts dotes on him, puts a lot of stuff on him, you know. Then there's Richard, Mama's favorite.
Okay.
Richard's Mama's favorite. So okay. That's what we'll say about him right now. He's a Mama's boy.
Why you say it like that? Like,
he'll come around.
Okay. Then there's Geoffrey, who nobody likes.
Yeah, that name's weird.
Nobody likes Geoffrey. Yeah.
Think of the strong names that have followed this show. Henry. Also, Henry the Younger as well, so he's the younger of it. Yeah. And there's Richard. There's Geoffrey. Yeah.
Geoffrey.
Geoffrey gets the water for them, don't he?
Who's the fourth one?
Not even a J, Geoffrey. This is a G, Geoffrey.
Geoffrey. That's the worst.
That soft one. And then John.
John's a strong name.
Good name.
Yeah. Man, Henry puts a lot behind him, too.
See, I don't know. So, I like... Geoffrey. John is one, for me, that in history, he's, like, very young at the time. A lot of Henry's sons are pissing him off.
Uh-huh.
So, like, they talk about, like, John being Henry's favorite. And I'm like, is he his favorite? Or was he just 8 years old at the time everybody else was pissing him off? Mm. So, he was like, okay, you're nice to me still because you like Lego. Like,
right. Yeah, he was still loyal.
Yeah, right.
So... So this is the time. I don't even know if we want to get into the Canterbury thing. We've got so many other things to.
Go ahead.
But Henry's screwing up a little bit as far as asserting his authority.
What's one of his biggest blunders? Oh. Biggest. Two words.
Thomas Becket.
So he wants...
Oh, yes.
He wants more control over the churches in England.
Okay.
But the Pope controls the churches in England. Okay. That's his thing. The reason he wants to control the churches in England is because, as a formality, you're supposed to give the church your best land and your kingdom. Which means all that tax money is not going to you, it's going to Papa.
Okay.
And he doesn't want the church money to go to Papa anymore.
Am I also correct in thinking that the law of the land can't prosecute members of the church?
Absolutely, yes.
So the law of the land can't prosecute members of the church. The church can only prosecute members of its own following. And that also means that any money that is redacted from people because of trial or because of whatever you have to do to pay back goes to the church. So Henry doesn't like the idea that there is, one, people he doesn't have complete control over in his country, and two, there's money in his country going elsewhere.
Yeah.
He's like a massive control freak.
Like, no, but that's like the mafia. Come on, let's be real. That Catholic Church is a little mafia.
But when we say people under the church, an estimate of like people of 1/5 of his like complete empire was under the church's control, the people, because people were like popes and friars and, you know, all of these things, because the church actually paid people to do jobs.
So
this is like a big chunk of people he didn't have control over, like a big chunk.
So he starts to try and pass laws to assert his dominance over the English churches, but he's blocked by the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Boo.
Thomas Becket.
Okay.
Archbishops suck in England.
But, you know, they were friends at one point.
So the interesting thing about Thomas Becket is Thomas Becket was Henry's very good friend.
Shut up!
He was his bestie.
They were drinking buddies. And Thomas Becket was not an overly religious man by standards of the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there was an opening for the Archbishop of Canterbury. And
it paid well.
Henry managed to force Becket into the position. Basically thinking, I'll put my mate in the Archbishop of Canterbury position and think, this will be great. This guy will now help me do what I want to do. I don't technically have to break any laws of the church because he will reinforce them for me. What happens, though, is Becket finds God. And Becket immediately turns against Henry once he's the Archbishop of Canterbury and reinforces all of the church's
rules.
How
long before he found them?
Oh, not very long.
Not long.
Not very long he found out how shiny and sparkly God is.
Yeah, it's one of those.
It's basically almost immediately.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I see. You say it's this.
Yeah.
I've been in church sometimes and all of a sudden it's like, man, this feels good. And
God with an extra letter in there. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is like, wow, dude, that is some... So Billy the Kid.
He's extra annoyed at this point.
Yeah,
of course I would be pissed.
Because he's like rubbing his hands, walking back to his house, going, "I've got this thing on lock now. Nothing's going to affect me."
So he didn't even talk about it with his boy. He just assumed that his boy is going to
do. Was on board. Yeah,
yeah, basically. Board. He had to talk him into the job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the only thing. Mm. He just was like, no, this would be good.
And Becket is like, man, I don't want to do that. Like, no, you're going to like it. They got crosses. There's wines.
Yeah,
there's crackers.
Right.
There's a dental plan.
It's awesome.
Great.
All right, man, I'll do it.
No.
And he gets the job, and he's like, yo.
He loses his number. Banging. Like, for real. Loses his number. Like, doesn't have anything to do with the king.
Not even a goodbye to Henry.
Well, the king gets a bit pissed off. So the king ends up, he ends up sending him out of the country. He ends up exiling him for a few years. Like, is it a few years that he's out of the country?
I want to say that.
When he gets Becket out?
Yeah, he exiles him from...
So
like,
he eventually gets control to start...
Well,
In that way that, like... I don't own this house, but if I pulled out enough swords, I'm suddenly in control.
Okay, got you. All right.
So during this time of the exile, King Henry gets his first son Henry, other Henry, Henry the
Henry the Younger.
Henry the Younger. Okay. He has a coronation for him.
You guys don't call your kids Junior at all, huh? None there?
No.
There?
No, not particularly.
You throw a number real quick.
Yeah.
Second.
Right. Oh, yeah, you absolutely.
So there's a dual monarchy coming up here.
Okay. Mm.
So he has set up his favorite son, Henry the Younger, and has crowned him to let everyone know when I die, Henry shall take over from the crown. So Henry is technically also the King of England at this point. Mm. He's not ruling in any sense, but he has a crown.
Okay.
Okay.
However,
Thomas Becket takes quite an offence to this because crowning of new kings is the Archbishop of Canterbury's
But he's out.
Job.
But he's out.
Doesn't matter. Oh, doesn't matter.
He's
doesn't
still
matter.
The Archbishop of
he's
Canterbury.
He's still the Archbishop of Canterbury.
He's just
so,
out of the country.
He eventually like convinces the Pope. Like the Pope eventually convinces Henry to be able to let the Archbishop of Canterbury back into.
Okay.
Into England.
So now TB is pissed.
Oh, they're both mad. They don't like each other. At this point, they both don't like each other.
Yeah, you kicked me out of my country. You put me on vacation to where did he send them to?
The Roman Empire, probably.
He was probably hanging
like
out
the shitty place in Italy, probably, somewhere around
like,
there.
He's
somewhere
probably hanging out with
Holy
Papa
Roman
somewhere.
Empire.
One of the apartments in the Vatican.
All right.
He's somewhere. But he comes back and they end up in a barney and neither of them like each other.
And the Pope's a bit distracted at this point.
Oh yeah, he's busy.
Yeah.
While this is going on, they've lost more Crusader lands.
The Turks and the
because we're nearing about the 1160s, 1170s.
Yeah.
And there's a new leader in charge of jihad, and his name is Saladin. And this is you're talking about like Nuruddin and Zengi were good. Saladin is one of the greatest commanders in the Middle East ever.
Khal Drogo of the whole
right.
Yeah, for real.
So
Saladin is he's the one that claims back Jerusalem. Am I
right.
Yeah. He's eventually. The one that takes the holy
That's
land
the
back.
Poison water, dude?
He's the guy that poisons the water.
And does, like,
Saladin?
Salahuddin, but yeah, Saladin. For the people of the West.
This
yes.
is
yeah.
that, really
Saladin.
Kingdom of Heaven is Saladin.
King,
right?
Yeah, Kingdom of Heaven is Saladin. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as
is
much as.
Is that movie any good?
The director's cut is amazing.
It's a great director's cut. Amazing, okay. Yeah.
They just had Orlando Bloom in it. Why?
And they gave the shirtless
scene. Because it was right after the Lord of the Rings.
He was
very popular.
He was hot on that.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
So as much as Becket's complaining to the Pope is busy as all hell. He could step in if he wanted to, but Jerusalem's on fire right now.
Mm.
And the only person holding it right now is the current king of Jerusalem, who's a 16-year-old leper child. So,
yeah. Wait, you said leper?
Leper child.
Okay.
As in leprosy.
Said,
leper child, as in spots.
Leper.
This motherfucker got spots and he's running
cool.
around.
Be like Black Panther,
they didn't have a really old cat sat down.
Canterbury forever.
No, so the Pope's quite distracted at this point. So, Henry back in the UK, he's having a banquet and he's a bit pissed.
Uh huh.
And I can't remember what Thomas Becket does, but
now
probably bring a potato salad with raisins.
Oh, pissed that means drunk. Sorry,
explain what pissed means.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
So he's a bit
he's
drunk.
Off his face
yeah,
drunk.
He's
yeah.
off his face. Like,
oh, that's what you
pissed.
Yeah,
yeah,
not
angry,
sorry.
Just pissed.
No.
He probably is pissed too.
He is annoyed and intoxicated.
he's drunk, having a few bevvies with his lads, uh-huh. with his knights, and someone gives him a bit of news. I can't remember what it is. But somebody gives him something about Thomas Becket, and he says in a very loud voice something along the lines of, "Will no one rid me of this asshole?"
And it's generally agreed by like historians, like most people believe he says it just as a general frustration.
Yeah, like venting. Yeah.
Because he's known to be his whole family line is known to have a huge temper tantrum problem.
Yeah.
So he just in the middle of a banquet is just like, will someone just kill this guy, please?
So this is the first recorded hit list. Yeah. That's what it is.
So his knights...
Shut up!
His knights think, oh, that's him saying someone needs to kill the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Yep.
Lads, get your swords. We're going to go kill the holy man. And all of his knights, well, a section of his knights break in and kill the Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas Becket.
In the cathedral. This isn't like, so this isn't like the cathedral.
Yo! Yeah. Oh, boys, pray.
Gangster, son!
This isn't like the cathedrals down the road either. Like, so Henry actually spent most of his time in France. Like, most of his reign was spent in France, not England. So they had to go from France to England, find him at the cathedral, try and get him out of the cathedral, which he refused to do, and just stabbed
this
him.
This wasn't like a weekend trip.
No, this took was a like while.
They didn't wake up the next day and go like, what did we do last night? This is the plan. I had the weirdest dream.
Why is my sword red, Jeff?
Right. Yeah, this was... Wow. Yeah. We're on a mission.
This was like...
Wait, and did nobody say, it's like, yo, where are my knights at? It's been a week. My knights are not there.
There were a lot of knights, and at the time they weren't needed. Like there wasn't open revolt or anything like that. Like they weren't missed.
It took a month vacation. I'll be back. I got you. I got you, boss. Why? So he just said it jokingly.
He said it out of venting frustration. He said like,
it's like when people say, "Kyle, please, somebody take my wife," and just like be like.
Imagine just one of your friends the next day turned up your house and went, "Hey, I got your wife here."
Yeah. What you want me to do?
Whoa.
Tied up, she's in the trunk.
So the Pope, although distracted, can't really ignore this. Either.
No,
that's
so. Imagine again, he's not just killed a member of the church; he's killed the Archbishop of Canterbury, the holiest man in all of England, who crowns the next king. For God to witness in the Christian religion.
Wow. In the house.
He's praying.
And this backfires on Henry so bad.
But he didn't do it.
Doesn't matter.
It's his men.
Oh.
Doesn't matter. They did it in the name of the king.
Wow. Did they catch the guys?
I don't even know. I
don't know what happened to the knights.
This is the thing. This is how like unimportant these knights were. Like, I have no idea what any of their names were, what happened to them afterwards. Like, no idea. There were other priests there, which is why everyone knows what happened.
They didn't kill the other priests?
No, they were just there for the
they should have learned from the Italian mafia. No witnesses. No witnesses.
The Borgias weren't born yet. So.
Okay, now I am. Okay, happens to Henry?
Nothing.
Oh. What do you mean nothing?
Lies.
He's still, well, as far as like military against him or anything or like the Pope taking action, he's still got one of the best armies in the field.
Henry is ridiculously rich and powerful at this point. At this point, he has more land than any other ruler in Europe.
Did he have any sense of guilt that he just murdered his ex-homeboy?
Well, that'll come later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
He had a little bit of guilt. Mm-hmm. It was more his reputation around Europe was just ruined. Like, everyone was like, you can't just kill holy men. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone was like,
who's telling him you can't kill that? What countries? Like what?
Probably the Holy Roman Emperor.
Okay, that's one. What, Spain? Spain same stuff?
This is the time for the King of France's son to start stepping up. Philip II is going to start becoming the church's favorite son because of this. This is an opening that he can take.
Oh.
And this is kind of, I would say this is really where the empire starts to fall a little bit there.
Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. It created gaps. So, like, Henry was such a strong ruler up to this point. So, in England, like, prior to him, all the rulers had to deal with sort of, like, civil wars and, like, arguing over the throne. Henry had actually accomplished a sort of peace in England and, you know, in France, the parts of France that England now had.
Wait, this guy was king of England, not in England?
He was living in Aquitaine.
He was in France.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Most of them. Lived in France.
Okay.
Occasionally went to England.
Oh, really?
They usually had a regent who kind of ruled over for them.
Alright.
Yeah.
And then killed the dude that was living in England.
Yeah.
Yeah. His mate.
At his house.
Yeah.
His bro.
His mate in the cathedral.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this is like a most messed up game of who. Who did it? Henry with the knights.
Henry
with the knights. In the cathedral. In the praying room.
Well, and then at this point, too, and I think that you guys can feel free to correct me because I'm not exactly sure on the events, but yeah, Eleanor decides and Henry the Younger decide that England's going to be in a better political position if Henry the Younger was king now.
Yeah, so this all sort of goes around, like, what Henry, being such a control freak, hasn't done what a natural ruler would do with. He named his successor, but he's not given Henry any responsibility. He's not teaching him how to be king. He's not giving him any holdings to start, like, bringing his own revenue in. He's still, like, you know, basically being given pocket money. Like, this is, like, you know, the next king of England being given pocket money. He's like, And Eleanor has taken Richard with her to Aquitaine, and she's gotten there and has realized that her husband has sold off a lot of her land to other people for political gain without telling her.
Oh.
And so she's like, bitch, what do you think you're doing with my land? Like, that's hers. She
Can
is.
Can you imagine if you sold Lisa's car?
Lisa's car.
Or something like that of Lisa's.
Okay, first of all, the cars is not the thing.
Okay.
Lisa has a collection of freestyle tapes.
Oh.
Freestyle music that I'm like, nobody has a tape player ever anymore. Right. I got to go to a pawn shop in Hoboland to find it. Let's get rid of this. Don't touch. I can't throw anything in my house because my wife will lose her mind. What I technically do is I break stuff here and there once in a while just to make, you know what I mean? Be like, oh, I broke it. Throw it out. We have like 72 coffee mugs for some reason. So,
okay.
Okay, so she's more pissed because this is her
mad.
Land.
She's mad. And sorry, this mad. Also makes Richard very mad as well because Richard is mama's boy, but Richard is also being given the lands of Aquitaine.
That's right. Like, you're right.
So he's like mad that all of these lands are not what he was promised.
Yeah.
By his, he's not going to be king, but you know he wants something, and it's not what he was promised. So he's mad. Like the young King Henry is mad. They're all mad at their dad. So
except for John.
John loves his dad.
Jeffrey's
16-year-old. Jeffrey's there too, but no one really cares about him.
Jeffrey hasn't even made the story.
Oh my god, Jeffrey doesn't do anything. Jeffrey
could have killed the Archbishop of Canterbury for all we
know. Oh my god, we should just take that fact. That's what happened.
It was Jeffrey the whole time.
If you ever want to watch a film about this, it's called The Lion in Winter. And it's Peter O'Toole and Catherine Hepburn playing Henry II and Catherine Hepburn playing Eleanor. And they have Jeffrey in there. And it's played by, I can't remember the actor's name, but he's fantastic. And one of the lines when they're arguing is, well, what about the nothing that Jeffrey gets? Like, he already knows he's not the favorite.
Wow. No, Jeffrey was definitely not the favorite.
I think he was count of who cares counting. Oh, God. Jeffrey basically
dies in about 10 years anyway. Yeah. He literally does nothing. Wow. Jeffrey dies.
The level of disrespect this guy that only was born with the most effed up name there was. Yeah.
You know what? He's actually the only son who doesn't get to be King of England.
Yep.
Just kidding. Because of the name. This is why, parents, name your kids appropriate
names. Yeah,
naming your kids Tropicana because you like orange juice. You're setting.
They're never going to be king of England.
Not, no, yeah, no. So it'd be a hair salon, but not any political office. Well, nowadays.
So now there's an open revolt against Daddy.
Okay. An armed revolt. Except for John.
John's with his dad. Like, the two other brothers, so Richard and Henry have shibbied over to France, the actual France, not the France that England control, to talk to Louis. Because Louis hates Henry just as much as they do.
But Louis used to be Eleanor's squeeze back in the day.
But Henry has such control over French land as well. Mm-hmm. Henry has a large control over French.
And Louis is actually... Oh, sorry, Jack.
No, please.
And Louis is actually nice to the boys their entire childhood.
Yo!
Henry's been a dick to them this entire time. Louis's been a care... Because, you know, he's still maintaining a decent relationship.
Yeah, him and Eleanor have a great relationship.
They have a good relationship still afterwards. So she comes to the court and he gets the boys on his side, actually, this entire time. Mm-hmm. This was his ultimate revenge against Henry because he couldn't beat him in the field.
Yeah.
He turned his sons against him.
Yeah. But yeah, no, so he's got the French king on his side. They also write to the Scottish king at the time.
For fun.
I want to say like Malcolm or something. I don't remember.
Angus Young.
They basically promise him a ridiculous amount of land if Scotland comes in on the fight.
Yeah. He probably understood lamb. And he goes, I'm in either way, lamb or lamb. I don't care.
But yeah, so they openly rebel against their father with Scotland and France behind them.
So do they... Okay, they don't touch Henry?
Don't matter.
Does it... Why?
Big dick still swinging. Oh, yeah.
What?
Yep, he beats him.
Oh, yeah, he beats him.
Oh, he's a good general.
He beats, like, yeah.
Does he kill his sons?
No, he forgives them.
No, I just figured it's in battle. Everything. Yeah. Who went down in this battle? Eleanor went down.
So, Louis, the two sons go to France, and Eleanor writes to meet them. There's one writing saying that she disguises herself as a man. And rides to meet them in France, but she gets captured. And Henry keeps her in captivity from then until he dies, which is like 15 years.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. So
She's
a bad influence on the boys. She's been talking to her ex-husband, you know. He is not best pleased with her. Mm-hmm. So, she gets put into captivity. That's the last you kind of hear about Eleanor for a long old while.
Right.
Where's Eleanor?
She's somewhere.
And then Henry basically gets ill in France and he dies. And so him and his father, Henry the Younger, and they never reconcile.
No.
So now Henry's in an interesting position where Henry the Younger was named as his successor.
Uh-huh.
But the successor has died. Mm-hmm. Now, Henry doesn't want to name another successor because the last time he did that, that successor got really annoyed, had the people behind him because he's the next logical king and managed to rally people. So Henry kind of, from now until almost the day he dies, plays, it might be you, it might be you, it might be you, I'm not
just
sure.
Just to keep him on their toes.
Yes. He never settles on which. He's like, Jeff, let's be honest, come on.
Jeff,
don't even look over here. This conversation is between Henry and Richard.
So it comes down to the fact that Richard is the oldest, but John is his favourite.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no clear...
And John has also not, like...
John died. Wait, John
no,
died?
No, John's Henry alive. So
Henry
the
Younger
died.
Henry the Younger died.
So Richard and John?
So, yeah, Richard and the very youngest John is still alive.
John is the king's favourite.
Yes.
Mm. But he doesn't want to...
He doesn't want to give anyone power in case another revolt happens. And this sort of interplay takes place as... until nearly before he dies.
Right.
No, he doesn't. Richard rises up against him again.
He takes it again, okay.
Richard rises up against him and defeats his father in battle, and then his father dies 2 days later.
His father, his...
How old was he at this time?
Like, in his 60s, I want to say.
So this guy's a bully, then. This,
I believe... He was in his 50s. So I believe his last words to Richard, though...
You dick.
Was actually like even more powerful than something along the lines of like he asked God or something like, I wish my son died before I did. Like, he basically says to Richard, like, I wish I had killed you.
Oh, yeah, I hope I don't die before I get the chance to kill you.
I think more hurtful would have been like, Jeffrey was better than you. What have I done, father?
So now Richard is Richard the First of England.
The Lionheart.
The Lionheart.
Richard the Lionheart.
That's a Van Damme movie.
Right?
So now he is known by his best-known name, Richard the Lionheart, who happens to appear at the end of every Robin Hood film as the great savior because of what happens next in his life.
Yeah. Right.
Can I just backtrack and tell you?
Sure.
No, I just want to tell you a story about, like, so the Henry II, during the first revolt by his two sons, Richard and Henry... So during this, it's not actually going well for him to start with. So like Scotland has come down and invaded, France has invaded, and he decides that God is against him. Well, this is the story goes. It's more like a bit of a propaganda kind of machine going on here. Mm-hmm. But he decides that God has forsaken him because of what he did to Thomas Becket.
Oh, the guilt.
Yeah, the guilt. So He goes to the cathedral where Thomas Becket's shrine is, and he stops outside the town and he takes off his shoes and he walks barefoot for 3 miles through the cathedral through the town where the cathedral is.
But what is interesting to note here is he's dressed as a pauper when he does this, but he has the king's banners near him. So everyone sees the King of England. They see it's the king because the banners, but they're drawn and they're, why is he dressed as a pauper with no shoes on? So he draws attention to himself.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like, so, you know, propaganda machine going on, like, oh, what's the
Is it or is it the guilt?
It's a... I don't know. It depends which one you want to go with.
More romantic.
So, not the end of it, though.
He walks all the way to the cathedral and goes down
3 miles.
3 miles barefoot. So, like, and this is like old medieval roads as well. So there's broken stones and stuff. Yeah.
He's bleeding.
He's bleeding bad. Uh-huh. He goes to the shrine and he kneels down and he allows, I think it's about 100 priests.
It's 100 monks.
To flail him.
Shut up.
Yeah.
In penance of killing the archbishop.
How many whips? Just one? Swing?
So, like, they say, like, about 300. He was, like, whipped about 300 times.
Yeah, it's a BS story.
it happened. It's not, like, it's not a...
300, though, Becca? It's not, 300. Well, so 300, it was, 300, 300.
It was 100 priests that were allowed to hit him between 1 and 5 times, depending on how many times they wanted to hit him. So this legit happened, like, but the reasons behind it are kind of like, well, he's in the middle of, you know, he's wanting a bit of people support to grow his army. So he gets flailed.
He takes the whippings. More blood.
And then, you know, an almost unbelievable coincidence, he gets a message a few hours later to say that the King of Scotland has been captured.
You know who that is?
That's who he says it is.
Says that God must now be on his side.
God's on his side.
That's perfect.
That works.
And even if you were to believe that, like, this isn't a sort of a publicity move on his part, if you were to take that away, imagine a person who now legitimately believes, who's already a bit of a crazy person, now legitimately believes God is behind him.
He can't lose. He's like LeVar Ball. Never lose.
Can't lose.
Can't lose. But look.
And he doesn't. He wins.
I like... Okay, I get the skepticism or the cynicism about it, about... he's doing this for publicity, but he 3 miles with no shoes.
Oh, he took it. Henry was a badass, though. Like Henry the Second.
No, he took a whipping.
He was a tough badass, like for real.
And the chances that the dude from Scotland died,
He's
putting Neosporin on his back.
Sorry, I just had to tell you that's one of my favorite parts of the story. Richard the Lionheart.
No, you guys got to come back for this Robin Hood thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Damn. No, dude. This.
Oh, my God. There's so many legends.
1 hour 20.
Wow.
This is the longest show we've ever done.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm sorry.
No. This is great. That's okay. It's happened. One of the other longest show that we did.
That's okay. I'll leave us on a cliffhanger here.
Oh, go.
Okay. So now Richard the First, King of England. Everyone thinks that the stability is going to happen. This is a king who's going to sit on the throne and govern England.
Uh-huh.
And then Jerusalem falls.
Uh-oh.
And the Third Crusade is called. And the man who, the last thing he ever wanted to do was sit in England, gets to get up, get his army, and head to Jerusalem.
And go against
Saladin. To go against Saladin.
Yeah. Oh, shit. It's like WrestleMania 3.
This is the best crusade. The Third Crusade is the best crusade.
Oh, dude. So we got you guys got to come back for the Robin Hood.
Right.
And the Third Crusade,
because he's got to leave someone in charge while he's gone.
We need a calendar.
Oh, his mama's out of prison by now too.
I want to go over the whole Braveheart thing too.
We'll do Braveheart too. We can have everyone back. We can have recurring guests.
For sure.
This is this is great. I don't know. Now, honestly, I didn't know if I wanted to, like, cheer for Henry or not. And I kind of was like...
It's one of the best stories is that family.
And then you threw that church thing at the end. It's like, yo!
It's cool,
But then he's a crazy guy that if just happens, coincidence happens.
Plantagenet. See, like, the Plantagenet era have some of the most famous kings, but they also have the most shit kings.
Mm-hmm.
like, there are some real bad kings in the Plantagenet era who, like, get overthrown for no real apparent reason, and then you have, like, Simon de Mont. He's like, oh, I
did
love
the Pope
Simon.
Ever reassign an archbishop back to Canterbury?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
After the guy died, or?
After, yeah.
Oh, after the guy died. He was kind of afraid to bring another one. Yeah. Let this guy have a couple bevies, and all of a sudden, can somebody kill this guy for me again?
It's not, the papacy itself was a little bit, it's not until Innocent III becomes Pope that it becomes this nobody touches me again type of thing. So they were a little bit weaker, so Henry had that advantage at the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this
Like Henry also used it, like, so Henry also invades Ireland during his, Henry II invades Ireland during his time because...
What did Ireland do?
No, for they nothing. Were there. He just says they were just there? He says he had the permission of the only English Pope that there ever. I can't even remember what his name is.
Oh yes, so an English Pope gave him like,
yeah, like gave him permission. I'm doing air quotes right now. Permission.
I thought you were doing the bow thing.
This is why the 1100s are so exciting, man.
But that was another interesting thing about Henry, which was he took Ireland and eventually he's a big reason why there's still problems in Ireland today, basically, because of English and British law.
Problems.
the troubles. he's a big reason why there's been difficulties in Ireland and British relationships up until this day.
Okay.
Because
1,000 years ago.
Yeah, because of his initial invasion of it. But as well, the whole time when he's dealing with the King of Scotland and his two sons, he loses very, very little land. The entire time he's doing it, like, he's a very legitimately good general. Like,
he like gains land. He gains land during his reign as well.
This guy would kick ass playing Risk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
yeah, we'll do a second part because we haven't even talked about the events that lead to the fall of Jerusalem and that crazy family order that's going on right now.
Jeez, man.
And then again, like, while all that's happening, Genghis Khan is on the rise.
You gotta make sure.
Like, Genghis Khan.
There's just so much.
Put that in the calendar because there's so many part 2s.
We'll do a whole.
There's so many part 2s that we haven't gotten to it. It's like, all right, you got the piece of paper I gotta.
Yeah, let's bring the wheels down on this one.
Oh, this is a fresh one. Did I ruin the other one? Did you throw out the other one?
Yes.
Oh, my bad. Hey, everybody. This has been Devils in the Details. Once again, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Devil's Deets. Follow us on Facebook, PFT Media Group, and follow the shows that are with us, including the 14,000 follower, The Daily City. Is that true?
On Instagram, yeah.
Yeah, 14,000 fans. Hold on, I gotta move your mic, Crespo. Sorry.
Let's talk about the flagship show.
Yeah, Cinema Crespo Diso. We got What the Fuzz, Poking the Bears, Scotch and Good Conversation. Simon Time, Turbia, The Daily City, State of the Beer Union, Tidbits, and Lady Raptastic. Any show that I'm forgetting here? No, we got them all? All right, cool. Also, please, I beg you, I know we got a review.
All right.
Because they did tell me at work that, yo, I reviewed the show.
All right.
I just need... Listen, I'm not going to start begging, but we need some reviews.
Okay.
What's the importance of the reviews, Crystal?
Algorithms.
That's right. And we're all about that rhythm.
Right.
I'll go whatever.
I'll go anywhere.
I'll go do it. Good. Give us some reviews. Also available, you can listen to a show on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever your podcast is sold. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, devilsinthedetailshow@gmail.com. Follow our great friends here, Rebecca. I mess up the letters all the time, so don't tell me. FSCW?
FSCW.
Nailed it!
Right. So follow FSCW Entertainment on Instagram, FSC Wrestling on Twitter. Clara, what do you got your social medias?
It's Clara Sinclair on all major social medias.
And Jack, I guess...
And support Jack. You know,
He needs the followers.
He's got less than all of us.
Little promotion out there. I don't know if you guys know that needs all the attention that you. They got.
There's this little indie up in Connecticut.
Yeah, in Connecticut, they have a new thing in the internet or something like that. Like a network or something.
Man, I don't know.
I don't know how much.
I think they're doing the Netflix model. I don't know if it'll take off.
It's gonna happen.
I am on Twitter as Gentleman Jack G. I am on Instagram as Mr. Gentleman Jack, and I am on Facebook, and I won't add you.
I dare you give your PlayStation 4.
What am I on PlayStation? I think I'm Mr. Gentleman Jack on PlayStation. Yeah. Do add me because I'm very good at video games.
What are you playing now?
I'm currently playing Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Oh, okay. So you're more fighter.
Yeah, I've been playing UFC a lot recently. I feel quite confident in saying I'm the best person in WWE at that video game.
Whoa! Really?
It's been documented a few times on YouTube, but I've staked my authority. People have stopped playing me because
down ban you.
Yeah, yeah, they have said they've stopped playing me now because they said Jack makes it not fun anymore.
Really?
Because I'm wiping people out again.
Becca,
so,
your video game. Oh no, that's
I do though. I like my fantasy stuff. So at the moment, I'm playing Assassin's Creed Origins.
Nice.
I just finished playing The Witcher 3 after 2 years. I did everything.
We need to cast an assassin.
Everything.
I bought Rebecca The Witcher 3 before we'd moved to America.
Yeah.
And that's how long she spent playing.
That was like the first gift you ever got me.
I know.
Look at that, the gift that kept on giving.
Oh my god,
forever and ever.
Do you have a Nintendo Switch?
We have the Switch, we've got the PS4.
I am hooked on Zelda.
I still haven't played Zelda yet.
Oh my god, it's beautiful!
See, for this reason though, like, once you get like into one of those games, you can't play anything else. Like, ages.
I do that with the Dragon Age games. I get on there, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be there for months.
I just lose hours out of my day. I just, like, I have to have, like, a day where I play video games because I just lose hours out of my day doing it.
I like the cameo break here.
Right, yeah.
Well, everybody, this has been the show. Thank you very much for listening. Make sure you review us. Please show us some love. Something here and there. Dan P Comedy at Twitter, Rican Gorilla on Twitter, Instagram, and whatever it is that I do. Cinema Crespo. Damn it, I forget yours, Crespo. Help me.
Crespo Diso.
Crespo Diso.
Crespo Diso.
On Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much, people.
Waiting on you, Beyonce.
Bitch.
A PFT Media production.